is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It is Monday, the 10th of May, 2021. That must mean you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department and Revenue. And oh boy, what a wonderful weekend it was talking about inland revenue. I must see harvest one good 30, 40, 75 dilly from Maitri. Now that's what you call inland revenue. I selling dilly. And look here, I have been raised as a good Christian woman with good morals and empathy and understanding for other people. But the capitalist side of me may have to take a walk on the wild side today. And let me tell you what I mean. You can't be selling four dilly for $5. This is against the rules. Somebody's gonna call CARICOM, and if y'all don't straighten this out, somebody's gonna write a letter to Jesus. I don't think you all understand. You can't be selling medium-sized dilly for dollar. Let me tell you why. Because historically, from Atlanta, Georgia, from the state of Georgia in the U.S., all the way down to Brazil, there were billions and billions of dilly trees lining these islands, these land masses. Billions. Dilly is not scarce or hard to find, warranting this high price. We just lazy people. We're lazy. And we don't understand the dynamics involved in selling and storing local produce. That's what it is. You can't be selling the dilly at that price. And I came, look here, I came very close to hitching up my Mitchell skirt and selling these wares in this capitalist market. But unfortunately, I cannot do that. We got to really regulate and set a sustainable market, right? Fruit market price. These things are luxuries because of their cultural value, right? But they're local produce. And if we would stop being lazy and start cultivating fruit and paying attention to our environment, the things wouldn't have to cost so much. Also, talking about inland revenue, I done picked the first couple mangoes off my tree. I am so excited. Now, by pick, what I mean is they drop because of the little rain the other day. Get a burst of water because I've been watering my tree regularly, right? So that little bit of rain, a burst of water, and I had like a couple mangoes drop off my tree, and I'm very excited. Had the first birthday mango this weekend. So this is a tip. If you know where the mango trees are, it's time to start watching the ground, seeing what's dropped. Don't let the rats and the raccoons get to them first. That's going to harbor that habit, and they're going to draw the vermin to the tree. So pay attention to the tree, clean it up. But also pay attention to the sky, because I have security cameras pointed at my mango tree this year. And if I catch you like I catch the boy 2 years ago, thiefing mango out of my tree with a rock. I mean, it's one thing to thief. It's another thing to damage the tree that you hoping to tee from. Come on, people. But the boy, after I catch him teething mango out of my tree, went to my neighbor's tree within eyesight, right? Like within eyeshot. And I had to say, boss, but I could see you. You ain't even shut off your little van. I could hear you right there. And his response was to go around the corner to the same neighbor, different tree, around the corner. And I had to point out to him, come on now, you are just a lazy thief. You are begging me to call the police on you. You begging me to destroy your life because you're rude and disrespectful. You done catch couple mango before I said something. I done watch you, you know. You catch couple mango before I said something. You run hard because I had the audacity to tell you to stop teething mango out of my tree and damaging the tree. And then when I catch you teething mango out my neighbor's tree, you had the audacity to throw green mango at me. And then some of y'all wonder why people is calling the police on you. Are you saying that you call the police over some mangoes? It's not the mangoes, sir. It's the blatant disrespect. It's the absolute disregard for how mangoes grow. How the mangoes can be there next year for you to teeth if you throw in rocks in the mango tree? That's why people call the police. Because that level of mindlessness, disregard, and if I could be very, I'm going to say it, I got to use the word, it's stupid. You cutting off the hand that you hoping will feed you. Please stop doing that. Because I got camera, I got audio, and I can snitch on you. I ain't gonna send it to the police though. I can put it on TV. I can put it on the interwebs. You wanna be famous? That's what we gonna have to do. Because some people are relying on the fruit that grows in their yard to generate a little income to keep them going. That's what it is. That's what it is. Now, in other news, today is Monday, and that means tomorrow is Tuesday the 11th, and we will be watching the first in the UB political debate series, the youth debate. This is going to be a really great discussion. Opportunity to get a sense of what is on the minds of the younger generations of Bahamians, why they are engaging in politics, what they hope to bring to the table, and what they hope to take from the table as well, if we can be honest. And I think these conversations are important because, as far as I am concerned, far too often, new and young politicians enter that arena and they get overwhelmed and consumed by the political culture, to the point where it destroys them, or it destroys the image that we once thought they were. Who they used to be before they went in the house is no more. And so I want to tell you all about this little book I picked up and started reading this morning. It's called Ellsworth Johnson and the Case of the Missing Advocates, Lawyers, and Labor Unionists. It's a mystery. It's sort of a suspense, like a thriller. Right? And the story starts on a ship. There are two men looking across the deck of the ship. And the first man says, you see that boat there? I gonna wreck that boat. Remember, we used to wreck things. I mean, used to. Second man say, buddy, put down those binoculars. You see any other boats out here? Stop talking foolishness, man. You gonna wreck the boat we on? The first man says, not the whole boat, King. Just the part the government and the rich them by them is beyond. That's the only part I can wreck. Anyway, that's as far as I got in the book before I choked on a dilly I was eating. It's a good book. I could tell by the first few lines. It's a very good book. And I can tell you all about the rest of it later. I think it's a good time to go to a break. And when we get back from this break, I'm going to introduce my guest for today. I know y'all want to know who it is. It's a little political. It's a little spicy. It's going to be fun. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. We'll be right back on the clock.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs. Offer ends May 31st.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Self-quarantine helps to prevent the spread of COVID-19 and keeps our community safe. An individual may be asked to self-quarantine if they had close contact with a person who tested positive for COVID-19. Self-quarantine involves not leaving your home, staying at home in one room by yourself, using a separate bathroom from others in the household, avoiding contact with others, including those in your household, practicing preventative measures such as hand washing and disinfecting, monitoring for changes in your health, answering the phone when the contact tracing team calls, and following instructions given by healthcare professionals. Let's do our part to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
This message has been brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health, in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Oh, good yawning this morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. You're tuned into 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. And today we are talking UB's National Political Debate Series. But just in case you missed that book recommendation before the beginning of the show, let's pause for a moment. I got an ad for you. Save on your real property tax. Bahamian property owners can now take advantage of waivers on their real property tax in one of two ways. One, bring your account to zero. Or two, get a payment plan. Foreigners can receive a 100% waiver on surcharge. Offer ends May 31st, 2021. For further information, email rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs or call 242-225-5778, and that's a toll-free number. This message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And if you want to join the conversation today, let me give you all of your options. We are streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. Or download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices. And listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. Text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-4796, 422-GR96. And that's powered by BTC, standard text rate supply. Or call in at 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. Did you catch the name of that book? It is called Ellsworth Johnson and the Case of the Missing Advocates, Lawyers, and Labor Unionists, right? And this is sort of like, you know where I found this book? I was like, it's like the Bahamian version of the New York Times, right? And I just was flashing through it and it had a blurb on the book. And it was like, labor unionists missing, seen in red t-shirt, walking with campaigners through communities. I wonder what he's up to, right? That was like the blurb I got a couple of weeks ago. I said, I gotta pick up this book. This gotta be the hottest thing running. Anyway, a couple of checks before I begin my segment with my guest. Hi. The sad thing about the petty fruit thief is he wants to sell your own fruit back to you. And it gets better. See, the Bahamas must be the place, I call it, like, where it's the perfect practice of capitalism, right? Because boy, them taking the fruit, something like a tamarind, they taking the fruit out of your yard, right? And then they selling it for $14 a pound on the road. Now, mind you, there's a lot of risk involved with selling it on the road, right? It's like, first of all, apparently it's very difficult to get a permit to sell things on the roadside. Second of all, to be in the road in and of itself is a risk. So maybe that's why the price is so high. But I agree. Maybe we should create a mechanism where landowners and vendors could work together. Morning, Miss Green. Things rough. More handcuffs. They stealing my bunches of bananas from the homestead. Inner city youths have the rights to steal. Why you think it's just inner city youth? Why you think it's inner city youth? And if it is, and some boy them are stealing two hands of banana and then giving them out to all the little children in the inner city, I could be honest with you. Tell me how much money I need to give you to replace the bananas. Right? I think it's worse than that, Texter. I think it's a matter of enterprise. I think that the banana thief knows that they have a market for green bananas, right? And so they will thief the bananas before you're ready to harvest them for a market that wants ripe bananas. Tex says, sorry to change the subject, but could you please tell our people that you can't turn right on a red light and only turn left again for me? Thanks. Buddy, well, good morning, and that must be my last happy birthday gift for the birthday season. Dear Texter, you are correct. This problem is twofold, and let me say it's threefold, right? First of all, everybody in Nassau know you cannot turn right on red, especially at Mackey westbound, right? The northbound to westbound lane to go onto Shirley Street. Those people know that they cannot turn right on red. They do not care. You see, this is the best part. These are the people who hit your car and then get out and say, what happened? It's an accident, eh? These are the people that have insurance on their car, like the good insurance. Like, I used to have the good insurance. I think I still have it. But, somebody hit my car, I got a rental car, right? And I had that rental car for the duration of the repairs. And the other company, the rental car company called me and said, you better bring back this car, miss. And I said, please politely call my insurance company, sir. I do not understand what you're saying. And my insurance company politely explained to them that their client will have the car and your client will pay for it, or the other client will pay for it until the car is repaired and returned to my client. That's the good insurance. Dear young people, invest in the good insurance. Also, dear young and old people, lobby these other people, so young people could afford the good insurance. Y'all know what y'all doing. Y'all thought mango was you thought there was a mango mafia? Insurance people know what they're doing. Thank you very much. I also want to point out that there was a lot of reckless driving on the weekend. A ton of it. It's almost as if y'all don't care about yourself and other people. It's almost as if we're not actually a Christian nation. It's almost as if we expect everybody else to follow the rules but us. It's almost as if some of y'all know how to make cars. Y'all barely know how to make a plate for dinner. You don't know how to make a car. And you certainly don't know how to replace a human. When I say replace, I don't mean go make another baby. Be very good at go make another baby. That's our thing. You cannot replace a life lost. So why are you driving like you are God who just found out his woman was cheating on him? Please do better, Bahamas. Because these young people who are coming up on this stage tomorrow night need something to model. They need behavior they could look at and identify as good and worthy of replicating. This other thing we doing is not making any sense. And look here, just because I turned 45 don't mean I think I's an old woman. But y'all making some of us adults out here adult more than we should have to. It's not my job to adult for you. And it's not these young people's job to adult for us either. It is not their job to adult for us. And it's not our job to adult for the generations above us. Now, when they hit geriatric age, then it's time for us to step in like loving parents did for us and take on that role. Anyway, thank you, Texter. You put the fire. You put the fire in it this morning, and I really appreciate that. But back to our regularly scheduled program. My guest this morning is the great, the youngest, hardest working politician in this country, Mr. Jace Brannon from Spectrum Politics. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Bahamas. And boy, you know how to flatter.
Boy, I thought I saw some mangoes in your car when you pull up.
You know, it was interesting. The last time I was on your show, you were talking about the fruit tree. So I'm dismayed to know that the perpetrator has not been brought to justice. I hope we can get some justice for you.
Look, no, they've been brought to justice. Trust us. Look here. Some of them, you know, they couldn't sleep for the whole year.
Mm.
That's on their conscience eating them like they was eating that mango. Anyway, it's good to see you. I'm sorry it took so long.
No. You know, we're all busy and some interesting things have happened. So I'm glad that we get to talk about it now. It's only a day away.
Yep. This first in the UB National Political Debate Series on youth. So what is Spectrum Politics and what is your group's role in tomorrow night's debate?
So, as you know, Spectrum Politics is pretty new because the last time we spoke, it didn't even exist. As a matter of fact, it'll celebrate its one-year anniversary in June. So this was a whole quarantine project. It's basically a digital media group that focuses on political debate, education, and analysis. And it was started, like I said, in the height of that quarantine period between three friends. I was one of them. And at the time, we were in three different political parties. So we noticed that all the time on social media, we'd be going back and forth about national issues. But more often than not, we were agreeing with each other, despite the fact that we had on, you know, different colored ties and all of that stuff. And the same could be said about a lot of young people who are interested in politics. We agree on the basics and even the advanced stuff, but it's only the color that's different. So we said, well, why don't we form an organization that'll kind of be like a community platform for us young people to get together, get inspiration, learn from each other, and sort of refresh our spirits. Because if you leave it up to these political parties, you could get real discouraged real quick. So our role in tomorrow's debate, we've been excited to partner with the University of the Bahamas and Verizon Media Group. The three founders, of which I am one, Christoph Strawn is another, Denzel Bizard is a third, we are going to be providing color commentary before and after the debate using our... So it's kind of like our podcast, the Bahamas Politics Podcast, but live on TV.
Now, when you say color commentary, what do you mean? Does that mean like you're going to crack jokes? Like I can crack jokes on them?
We got to keep it light, of course, because it is a serious occasion and we want to really celebrate. We anticipate that we'll be celebrating the great debate that the young people will have tomorrow. And listen, full credit to them, right? We're going to talk about them by name in a little bit, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But to be able to stand up on a debate stage in a country that is not really primed for debates, unfortunately, and to do it first, you got to give them a lot of credit. And we're going to be talking about their performance and what we want to see from them.
Yeah. So two things interesting there, right? I am unaware of any other political analysis or commentary group like yours. And so I'm still really interested to find out what color commentary means. Like, is it a trade, an industry term, right? Don't make me laugh. But also, right, in the second part there, with these young people being on the stage, do you know any of them?
Yeah.
And are they already in that debate space? Because we know we get Toastmasters, right? So we understand debate. We get a culture of appreciation for debate in the country. But the question is, are we ready for, or do we see the value in political debate, right? And then again, the value of young people engaging on that debate platform.
Yeah, different question, but necessary. So I have actually, and again, this is where the digital and quarantine age kind of comes in. I have spoken to some of these young people that are debating tomorrow online, but I haven't met them in person. Probably the one I'd be most familiar with is Mr. Boykin Smith, who will be representing the DNA tomorrow. But they are incredibly impressive, even in their digital delivery of why they stand for certain issues and why they believe that their respective parties are going to take them there. I've kind of raked them over the coals personally in our personal chats before. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for them. I think that things are changing in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, but it's difficult to see when parties have so much influence over the province because we all know which political party we're referring to here. But one entire political party almost tried to stop the show just by not showing up.
Yeah.
And that's not the kind of democracy we need to have.
And I think it's not the type of political culture that we want to grow. Mm-hmm. What was interesting about that is that that party sort of took on the air of sort of responded as the government.
Yeah.
When really they were invited as a political party.
And they also tried to tell the organizers of the debate, who are extremely qualified and have gone to extreme lengths to look at other debates around the world and try and model it for this one, they tried to tell the organizers that what they were doing wasn't up to international standards, while simultaneously having the position that we don't need to show up.
Yeah.
So I don't understand that.
Right.
Really?
And like I say, that's a part of the political culture, right? Like, once I assume the supreme seat of power, then the rules no longer apply to me. Like, I become something special or more special than you. And so for me, what was interesting is, why would they continue to engage the process as if the government of the Bahamas has been invited to debate, when in fact the FNM party, a private organization, has been invited to debate. You know, one of the questions I have is, what is the difference between you and the leader of your party?
That would be such a good question to get answered live, because there is this natural inclination, and I could tell you, having been in a political party myself too, in fact, there is this, it's not even a temptation, it's this unspoken rule that you don't go against the leader of your party publicly. Right? But I suspect that these young people are very different than the leaders of their parties. And they should be. Because how are those leaders supposed to learn something about the next generation if they're the same? I would love to know how they'd answer that question.
Boy, look here. And for me, it's more about how they answer it, right? Than what they actually say.
No umming and ahhing. We'd like to know. The people are listening.
And that's it right there. People are tuning in to get a sense of how you will perform. People expect wrong answers every once in a while, you know.
Yeah.
It's how you engage the space, the confidence with which you speak. And then once you realize or you've been told that what you said is incorrect, how do you respond to that? And it's less about what you say and more about how you say it.
Yeah.
But the whole thing, I think, is important for Bahamians.
Yeah.
They want to know. All right, so.
If I could mention well, I just want to say, from Spectrum's end, right, all three of us that formed this organization are former youth parliamentarians, right?
Okay.
Denzel and Chris did it the same year, and then I did it a year after them. So we are huge nerds on this subject, and our aim is not to be super critical. Right? Because like you said, there are going to be some fluffs, there are going to be some, you know, fact checks and whatnot. But the goal is to just kind of talk about the meta or overall narrative of where politics is going and where these young people hope to take it.
Now,
so this is going to be fun.
It is, right? So I'm heartened, right? I'm thinking, okay, so these play them just ain't, they not just into politics. They're also concerned about governance, mm-hmm. right? Do you think that political debates will help Bahamians understand the transition from politics, like what I say on this debate stage, and governance, my ability to deliver the things that I have promised?
That's big. The honest answer for me is I don't know if it's going to translate, but there is a certain level of confidence that is projected from somebody who is ready to govern. And to my understanding, only one person on the stage, and that would be Boykin Smith, who's running for the DNA in Garden Hills, is going to be a candidate in the next election. Sorry, I misspoke. Kara Ellis from the Coalition of Independence will also be running, and so will Shaquille Johnson from the BCP, I believe.
Yep.
So these guys are hoping to be in Parliament after the next election.
Mm-hmm.
What you say on Facebook, what you say on Twitter, that's one ball game. We're looking to see if you could represent us nationally and internationally. So I trust that they're up to the challenge because it's a big one.
It is a big one.
Yeah.
And I hope it doesn't. I hope it doesn't turn out like a beauty pageant.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you look at these women, and then sometimes the answers are just like
deer in the headlights, and then they kind of smile, and there's the fake applause. And
But in many instances, it's a question of whether the participants are prepared for the sort of weight or the gravitas of the moment, right? But let me give a list to the listening audience. Here are the participants in tomorrow night's debate. So we start with Willenique Wilson from the Bahamas Democratic Movement. Then Kara Ellis from the Coalition of Independence. Alexander Kemp from the Kingdom Government Movement. Justin Smith from the Progressive Liberal Party. Boykin Smith from the Democratic National Alliance. Bill Johnson from the Bahamas Constitution Party. Am I missing anyone there? There's nobody from the PLP on this list?
Oh, the PLP is right there, Justin Smith.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, my bad. Know, sorry, Justin.
I still sit here and wish to hear Free National Movement, but sadly, we will not get that opportunity at this debate.
Yes, sadly. But we could talk about them, not the young people in the party that they wouldn't let come to debate, and not the actual people in the party, because we don't want to talk about people.
Mm-hmm.
But we could talk about the political culture that drives the FNM and that would cause a party that campaigned on a promise of accountable, honest, and transparent governance to the point where they would refuse to participate in a national debate.
But not just that, Aaron. I think Dr. Curry said it right when he was on the radio. I think it was last week. He reminded the audience that last election, UB held a series of town halls that is, for all intents and purposes, exactly the same as what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Except this is a debate.
Yeah.
So the Free National Movement, other political parties.
Oh, boy, look at this. I got a caller on the line, but this political culture is fascinating.
Yeah.
Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron, and morning to you again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, Aaron, you know, this. I'm going to go on the limb by saying this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
These debates, what we are saying about the playoffs, I find it to be an insult to those who are part of the intelligentsia community. You know, we have been calling for political live debates for years. And to have this watered-down version as if that we are running for some student council office, you know, we have to understand that we are persons are vying for the highest elected office in the entire Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And to have persons on that stage debating who is not a part of the political process is an injustice. You see, and the UB should distance themselves from this because it seems as if that some people are inflating their egos by taking us to this low depth.
Caller, what do you mean when you say not a part of the political process? Do you mean new parties?
The only persons we should be hearing from are persons who are vying for a particular constituency. They're the person. See, it starts from the bottom up, Aaron. And in order for us to get an understanding as to whether these persons have the intellectual capacity to bring legislation, policies, and programs relative to the area that they're representing, if we're not hearing from these individuals, we're doing this entire process a grave disservice.
But caller, apparently all of the participants in the debate tomorrow night are aspirants. They all are candidates.
Maybe tonight, maybe in that particular one, but according to what your guest is saying, all of these persons are going to be candidates.
Well, I'd just like to clarify to the caller, I did misspeak at the beginning and said only one of them would be, but I know for sure at least three of them are candidates for the next election. In the case of the Bahamas Democratic Movement, I know that they have not ratified a lot of candidates, so it is possible that some of these parties will ratify these young persons.
Hello?
My guess, Mr. Brennan was saying that initially he said that they were all ratified, and he's not sure whether some of the parties have ratified all of their candidates, but it could be that all of the participants at tomorrow's event are...
Aaron, going forward, is all we should be hearing from. And furthermore, because, I mean, when you look at these two major pandemics that we had Hurricane Dorian, then we now had this global pandemic. And for them to be playing games in these serious times, then political rallies may be a thing of the past. It is imperative for us to focus on these debates in a clear, concise, and intelligent manner. Stop playing childish games. Because this is, to deduce this thing to a student council type election, and you're talking with it coming from UB, in developed countries, it is the universities who will be pushing these things, and the Tea Parties who will be pushing these debates in developed countries. And for the UB now to say this is the format, this is the most intelligent process that they can come up with, it's a disrespect to all of us who are part of the intelligence community. It's a very disrespect.
Thank you. Thank you, caller. Before you go, I don't want you to think I want you to hang up before I respond, right? Two things, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't think, I think that perhaps we need to step back a bit. Do you really think that the university can construct a platform for public discourse that will satisfy the desire and the need of what you call the intelligentsia in this town?
Yes, ma'am.
But furthermore, do you think that's what's most helpful for the democratic process? Like, I like to sit and talk about, if you see the list of questions I have here for these young people, and guess what? I know they can't answer it. But guess what else? Ain't nobody on the thing to answer it. First of all, I bet you Dwayne Sands is the only one who will try to answer the questions. You hear me? Try to answer them.
But then when you look at how developed countries feel candidates and how they see this process, Aaron, it's supposed to be where we bend these persons who are vying for public office, when they state their position on a particular socioeconomic issue. It is docket in their record, and this is what you hold them by. But how can you hold individuals to something that they're not even running for?
But you can't blame, you can't blame UB for what is a symptom of the political culture generally.
No,
right?
But it's Dr. Chris Curry who said that he isn't even looking at independent. How could you do that?
Because
everyone
it's a...
Their $400 should be a part of the political process. Because all it is doing, Aaron, it is only using common sense and intelligence as prerequisites before you vote for an individual, you know. On either side, from the voter perspective and from the candidate perspective, why should I find out that someone don't have common sense and intelligence after I would have voted for them and cannot think on their thing critically?
But the debate isn't the only tool you use to determine.
It's a very effective tool when you compare it with political rallies that we've been using for
decades. It's not as effective as you may think, and it's understand how to read the debate stage, right?
I know you do, and many other persons do as well, because we see how it works, and we see the benefits of these things prior to persons voting for individuals in other countries. It could either make or break you.
Nah, I could be honest with you. First of all, you think too lowly of yourself and your country in this comparison to other countries.
The criteria that we use political rallies and cracking jokes. That's the process. And when you compare it with political live debate, it's like night and day.
Yeah, but I feel you. No, it's not the first one. I was at the 2017. No, I was at the 2017 debates. Even UB is referring to them as town hall meetings, but they operated like debates, right? They operated like debates. They just didn't call them debates.
Aaron, if he can get more persons, if he can get these debates focusing on the persons who are most important, which are the candidates who are putting themselves forward, we're moving in the right direction.
All right, Carla.
Exclude a few of them saying you're not going to go with independence, then now you're bringing in persons for us to hear from who are not even a part of the political process. That's a disrespect, man. We can do better than this, man.
All right. Thank you, Carla.
Well, Aaron, do you mind if I just jump in here on this? I want to put out a few things for the audience to consider. This is Jason Braden again. Firstly, this is the first of a series of national debates. It's not going to be the last.
Yeah.
There is an opportunity here.
But hold on. This is the first mm-hmm. series
yes.
of debates. So it's not just that this isn't the last debate in this series, mm-hmm. but this is the first series, and other people could construct their own debates as well.
Right. I will not speak out of turn, but this is not the end of the process. So I am still going to give credit to young people where I can as a member of the youth community for standing up and volunteering themselves to even be subject to this criticism before the debate even begins.
Yeah, I agree. Let me get to these texts here, and then we're going to get to our own list of questions that we have created for the panelists tomorrow night. First text, hi, the sad thing about the petty fruit thief, we know that, asked the boy, my esteemed guest, the boy, if they get their own generator because the lights may go off. Listen, and how you know one of the quests is yes. about the energy crisis.
Yes, indeed. I can't speak out of turn for that. That question would better be directed to UB and Verizon Media Group.
Don't ask me that question again, Dexter, because I have an answer. Is that my theme music? Is it time for a break, Kermit? Well, we got to put a pause on these texts. We're going to roll to a break. Caller, hold on the line. We'll get right to you. And then it's time for these questions. We'll be right back. You're listening to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.ps. Offer ends May 31st.
This message has been brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Aaron Green. It is Monday, the 10th of May, 2021, and my guest today is Mr. Jace Brannon, one of the most brilliant political analysts in the country. First of all, I see you looking at me like that, Mr. Brannon, as if I just lotioned in you and bigging you up. But have you seen any other political analysis groups, shows, podcasts, discourse going on anywhere, first of all?
Well, I know they must exist, but I will always deflect credit and the success that Spectrum has had so far onto my team members. Again, Christoph Strawn and Denzel Bizard, who are just as brilliant. If you're going to call me brilliant, you got to call them brilliant too.
Good.
We're doing really good work. And yeah. the team is growing.
You know, and so I want to say to that the caller, right? Like this thing, it don't just happen because you dream it, right? Like there are things that we have to do. We have to create an environment in which it is possible for that debate you want to have to occur. People have to do the work, right? There has to be political discourse taking place in various parts of your community. Yeah. Not just at politics time either, not just among the politicians. So one of the reasons why, or possibly why, we've only gotten to this point is because we've been waiting for some young people to create a mechanism like Spectrum Politics, right? To make it possible for these other things to happen in the environment. And so sometimes it hasn't happened because we really are not ready for it yet. Mm. As simple as that. But I got a caller on the line. Quickly, caller, you're on the clock.
Everybody, that'd be great. It is a good start for the debate. I appreciate you being for it. And hopefully next year, we can have more debate. But let me just say this in closing. My leader, the PRP, they're ready. They're ready.
I hear you. Oh, I hear you. He better be ready. He better be ready because he ain't got no excuses. You have none whatsoever. And while you may want to pretend like you are in the same circumstances as other third parties, we all know that you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And with the resources that you have available to you, and I ain't even talking money yet, I'm talking intellectual capacity and skill set, you are severely underperforming. If you think comparing yourself to other opposition parties is a fine comparison, it is not. At all. Another text here, morning, three straight, FNM, FNM, FNM. All I could see there was, it's mango time. Thank you, texter. Another text, Chikchani Queen, you talking about sapodilla being priced too high on the island of New Providence, but they mentioned the overpriced coconut these fellas is be selling for about $20 a gallon.
That's true.
Yeah, you forget about that, eh? Also concerning the fruit thieves, they just like our government don't dive deep enough. They just rush for quick fixes. They don't think about long-term, stable, sustainable solutions that will help or benefit themselves and others in the long run. Ms. Green, many times I offer to plant or help the fruit thieves plant fruit trees in their yard, especially banana trees, which grow fast. Why? So they could stop thieving, because they would now have their own stable supply of fruits. But sadly, many of them are too blind to see the light. Remember the first chapter of that book I was reading to y'all about the two boy on the boat with the binoculars? And he was wrecking the boat that he was on. It's kind of like that, but the same. Ms. Green, that caller is disparaging the debate and disregards the importance of creating a more accountable culture around politics. The debates are going to provide much needed perspective into the thinking of these parties. Another point, a very good point. The debate is also about enhancing and growing the environment in which we politic, right? And in which we govern ourselves. It's about creating a culture, not just about what these politicians say. It's about building up the environment. Okay, Jace, we are almost at the end of the show. Let us get into our questions. You give your first question for the debate, and then I can get a question.
We talked about one of them a little bit earlier. The differences between these young people and the leaders of their particular political parties. But I want to ask, I'm fairly certain that this question will come up. Mm-hmm. It seems simple, but the answers could be so powerful. The question of why did you enter politics? Because we hear that question all the time as young people. The standard answer is usually, well, you know, I want to see a change in the country. That's fine. But I want to see if any of the young people will delve deeper into their own personal background, into an area in which a failure or deficiency in government policy impacted them, their community, their family, and then say that. Right. I want to be a part of fixing that. I want to hear what these young people would have to say.
That space where the personal becomes political.
Exactly.
Where I am literally governing myself in the absence of alternatives or support. And it's not about incompetent governance. It's just about a gap, something that somebody didn't see. Okay, so you did get one of my questions. Here's my first question. How does ethnicity impact or affect national identity?
Mm-hmm. The kind of question that you don't hear often.
Yeah.
But I love curveballs.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. We expect some topical issues to come about. We expect some immigration questions, marijuana, things of that nature. But ethnicity or identity, what's it mean to you?
Yeah.
What does it mean running in politics? And I'd be curious as well, since two of the debaters tomorrow will be women, I would like to hear the men on the stage talk about women involvement in politics. I want to hear all of them answer that question and what they are doing personally to increase the balance of persons in that sense.
Yeah, I could just imagine it. Sir, how do you feel about women running in politics? She running against me?
Yeah.
No? Yeah, she good then. She good.
Right.
Yeah, no, I like her.
But the second portion of it is, what are you doing to bring them more in?
Yeah.
Because now you have to hold yourself accountable and ask, are you doing enough?
You're right.
And we ask ourselves that at Spectrum all the time. We're three dudes on a podcast, or at least that's how we started. Thankfully, we have more persons who have come on board now. But from the beginning, you could ask any of the team members. We sat down thinking, gosh, why is it that we don't have more women even at this starting stage?
So I'll ask you this question about Spectrum politics and the wider political landscape. To what extent do you feel, or do your team members feel, that Spectrum politics has an obligation to the wider community? Or is this just a passion project for its members?
Well, anything that affects the community has an obligation to the community. I think that's how I would answer that question. At first, it was just raw passion. You know, let's see what the three of us could come together and do. And we started with a few pilot episodes on the podcast. We liked the flow. We liked where it was going. And we said, all right, well, now let's bring it even further. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that Spectrum is about education, debate, and analysis.
Mm-hmm.
At first, the analysis portion was the podcast, but education, telling people how to register to vote, why they should vote, introducing some level of civic education broken down for youngsters, even below our target audience of like 18 to 45, we're talking younger, primary school. That's stuff that we want to get into in the future. And I think that area will be where we will be giving back a lot more to the community, and you'll see it.
All right, so quickly before we go, how do we tune into Spectrum Politics pre- and post-debate mm-hmm. analysis?
So on Eyewitness News, Island Luck TV, I believe they will be streaming live on Facebook on Eyewitness News' page. The coverage will start at 7:30 as a special edition of the show there. The debate starts at 8 o'clock. And then after the debate, we know sometimes that the time is challenged. But the 30 minutes or a little bit more after the debate, we will be back live on TV and on Facebook. As for the podcast, we put out new episodes at least once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you could visit our Facebook page at Spectrum Politics. Our Twitter is, however, our most active platform, at Spectrum POL. And you can get all of our links over there. That's probably the best way.
Absolutely. So I need you guys to tune in to the debate and all the pre- and post-debate commentary. Because on Wednesday, I'm having a debate review show.
Oh, yes.
Where we figure out if these young people know the answers to the most important questions about living in the Bahamas. You know how to catch Chicchani? Do you know how to make Coconut Jimmy? Do you know how to make a dollar out of 50 cents? And most importantly, as a leader, how will you cause Bahamians to discipline and govern themselves? You've been tuned in to 96.9 FM, Guardian Radio, and you've been On the Clock with Aaron Green. I gotta go now, but have no fear. Levon Miller and Unleashed is here. I say thank you to Jace Brennan for this wonderful discussion, and you can be back shortly, soon, to continue talking about this political debate series. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely, and have a great day, Bahamas. Stay tuned. Don't change that dial. 96.9 FM, all day.